We'll go ahead, mark number 791. 791 will be the song after the lesson. At this time, we'll sing 448, Greatest Commands. We have children's bulletins prepared on the front pew here. Children ages 3 to 7. You can come forward and get one of those as we stand and sing 448. Here, He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
Thank you, Chris, for the reading this morning. Jeff, for the songs. Did I get it right? We're still polishing out this PowerPoint business for the songs. But I appreciate the song leaders and all that they're doing. We are glad you're here this morning. We got a lot of folks that are traveling out. We're glad you've traveled in to be with us, to keep us looking good in here in the auditorium. I do want to take just a moment. I've got at least one announcement that needs to be made this morning. Whitney Vanderswan talked to me earlier this past week and would like to be recognized as part of the family here. We're glad that she and her children and Chris are with us today. So get a chance to meet them before you leave. Some of you know that John David and Lily, and we're glad that they're with us, and we look forward to getting to know them and encouraging them in their walk with Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, hold them up. We like to have our Bibles open. Okay. The preacher likes to have our Bibles open. It's good to have it open and study God's Word. And that's what we try to do as we go from week to week, studying God's Word and know what God wants us to do in our lives from day to day. This morning's lesson was given by Noel Whitlock at the College Church in Searcy, Arkansas, sometime in the past couple of years. I'm not taking it word for word, and I'm not trying to do it for the purpose of making my life easy. But as I read through his sermon outline, I realize it's a different direction for us because sometimes we get comfortable with the idea of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world has set aside Easter as the one time a year that we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, not just the resurrection of Christ. We, as God's people in the church, recognize and celebrate each and every Sunday the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And we need to understand it is special to us, but sometimes we get the idea, yeah, maybe not so much, or it grows a little bit old on us. This morning, as I share with you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm going to challenge you in your thinking from a different standpoint. And yes, still dealing with Hebrews chapter 11 that we've been studying for the last couple of months, it does bring into question our faith as God's people. We'll visit that thought in a few moments. I remember as a child, one of the questions that a Bible teacher asked of me in our church Bible classes one time, if you were to have announced the birth of Christ, how would you have done it? Would it have been different than the way God did with the birth of Christ and the star leading the wise men or the shepherds and the angels talking to the shepherds and telling them about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem? Well, that same question can go to us this morning. If you were to have done differently than God, how would you have made the resurrection come out? I know that sounds like a question in God. That's not the intent. Did you ever consider the possibility maybe God and the resurrection got it wrong? I know some of you are ready to stone me as we begin. If George Lucas or Steven Spielberg had done the resurrection, you think maybe it would have been done differently? Talk about a major splash. Why was it so reserved, as we read in the Bible? You see, there were no angels. We'll come back to that one in a moment. No kings or dignitaries involved. No parade in the streets. Limited appearances. When Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared to the closest acquaintances, eventually to 500 at one time, and that's about it. But consider this. Why Why not the resurrection at mid-morning instead of as early as it was in the morning? Why not when people were stirring and walking around make the resurrection take place at that time? When the sun was shining bright? Or maybe that brighter light as Jesus rose from the grave? Better yet, how about Jesus riding on a white stallion right into Pilate's court and saying, "Remember me? You signed my death, but I'm alive, you see." Or how about the sudden appearance in the midst of the Sanhedrin? That would have got their attention, you think? Why only 40 days on earth? Why not 6 months? Why not a year? Why not 2 years? To really make sure people knew about the resurrection of Christ. Have you ever considered those questions? If you'll turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Most of our lesson this morning is out of Matthew 28, but as we start, John chapter 20, because I believe it holds a hint for us as to why the resurrection was the way it was. Jesus had appeared to the apostles the day of his resurrection. Thomas wasn't there, he was out. And he said, "I'm not going to believe that he's alive unless I see him and can put my fingers in the nail holes and put my hand in the side." And so a week later, Jesus appears to the apostles locked in a room, yet Thomas is there this time. And he tells Thomas in verse 27, "Thomas, place your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting." Thus the doubting Thomas. "Stop doubting and believe." We're so very familiar with the words of Thomas as he follows "my Lord and my God." But let's not stop there. I want to go one more verse, verse 28 or 29. Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Think about that for a moment. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. You see, those who saw the resurrected Christ back then had no choice but to believe that he indeed rose from the dead. There was no question. The death was irrefutable. There was no question that he rose from the dead. There was no question that he was dead. The Roman soldiers made sure he was dead. The Jewish leaders were glad that he was dead. They had prepared his body. And those who did that said he was dead. The stone that was rolled in front of the tomb was for the purpose to make sure he would remain dead. He was dead. Yet on that resurrection morning, he was alive. Standing right in the middle of the disciples. And there was no way they could say, "Yeah, I don't believe that." Thomas tried, it didn't work. But every Christian since that time, that, by the way, includes you and me. Every Christian, all believers since Jesus ascended, fall into the category of blessed. Those who believe having not seen. And now we come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. You see, faith requires the opportunity for rejection for it to be faith. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. This morning, do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? You see, you got to make a choice, and therein lies the faith issue. Do you believe that he rose again? And if you do, you've got the faith that leads us to greater things in life. If you don't believe that this morning, I would hope and pray that you would reconsider and what that means for your life. If we don't have the opportunity to say, "I don't believe," then our faith is not real faith. Let that rest on us for a few moments this morning. I share with you three specific things that the resurrection does for you and for me. One, the resurrection allows us to receive. We may not think of it that way, but stay with me a little bit longer. The resurrection allows us to receive. What were the two Marys thinking of as they went to the tomb that morning? Have you ever thought about that? In the process of reading, we skip right to the resurrection. We skip right to the angels. We skip right to there's an empty tomb. But we forget about the characters as they go to the tomb that morning. What were Mary's or the two Marys thinking about as they made their way to the tomb? Probably not that they would find the tomb empty. But that wasn't in their mind. They probably weren't thinking of what they were going to say to Jesus because they hadn't seen him for the last couple of days. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 3, the question that the Marys ask as they make their way to the tomb is, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? That's what they were wondering. There was not even a thought about the resurrection. All of their hope in Jesus died when Jesus died on the cross. I think we forget that sometimes with the apostles and those who stood at the foot of the cross. All hope died with the death of Jesus. They were walking to the tomb that morning with heavy hearts. They were walking to the tomb with their hands filled with the spices that they were going to use to anoint the very cold body of Jesus. They were going to finish the burial preparations. Didn't have the time to do that when he was laid in the tomb that first time. They were going to the grave to give, not to receive. That was not even in their minds. Willing to give to Jesus, expecting absolutely nothing in return. Yet when they got to the tomb, in Matthew 28, verse 6, we read the words, but he's not here. He's risen, just as he said. They received the good news that Jesus was no longer in the grave. The good news that we talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Peter shared in Acts chapter 2 as he told this Jesus whom you crucified, God raised up from the dead. It's the good news that you and I celebrated just a few moments ago as we took the Lord's Supper. We get to receive that good news over and over again. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior, having raised from the dead, victory over sin, over death, over Satan, and he's promised us the same victory. The resurrection allows us the opportunity to receive. One. Two, the resurrection allows us to believe. The scripture said there was an earthquake. Just as when the earth shook a few days earlier when Jesus was crucified, the violent earthquake came along as he rose from the grave. Matthew 27, verse 51. The stone had been rolled back. And the angel sat on it victoriously. There's a lot about the angel. Keep in mind that while he was being crucified, there was a host of angels ready to come down and take him off the cross. Do you remember? One was there on that stone, victoriously having rolled the stone away. The elite Roman guards, like dead men. Think about that for a moment. They thought an easy assignment. If you had been assigned to guard the tomb of Jesus, you would have thought, piece of cake. We've been warned there's going to be some women possibly to come along about the body of Christ and the apostles. Some of those fishermen, we got this covered. We're good. Yet, with the earthquake, the one who was dead, now alive. The ones alive, comatose. Dead, if you would, at the resurrection of Christ. Did you ever ask why did the angels roll away the stone? Did you ever think about that for a moment? Think for just a moment. Didn't roll it away for Jesus. Jesus didn't need it. Jesus, the one who had turned water into wine, had healed the sick, fed the multitudes, gave sight to the blind, calmed the storm, raised the dead, walked through a locked room. He didn't need the stone rolled away. He was good. The stone was rolled for the women's sake. And in verse 6 of chapter 28, come see the place where he was lying. Not for Jesus to be let out, but for the women to be let in. Why? So they could see and believe. Oh, Thomas wasn't the only one with a problem. The women needed proof. We want to know for sure it's empty. We got to see beyond the stone. We want to see inside. Is it truly empty? He's not here anymore. The resurrection allows you and me to believe. Do you believe? And third this morning, the resurrection allows us to live without fear. Maybe this is the greatest of all. The resurrection allows us to live without fear. You see, when the ladies came to the tomb, the angel told them what to do. Jesus is risen from the dead. And on the way, the Lord met the women. They would go back and tell the disciples that he had risen. And so on the way back, they go, and the Lord met the women and offered a greeting. The women were absolutely shocked, stunned, afraid, because they didn't know how to react. They didn't expect Jesus on the pathway out of there. Listen to the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Keep in mind, the men were more afraid than the women. Is that boosting our women? Rah, rah. Because the men were locked in an upper room. They were afraid. Afraid of what could happen to them. You see, the resurrected Jesus changed their lives forever. Self-centered, unreliable followers up to this point had been transferred through the resurrection into kingdom-minded and fearless evangelists. They were able to stand in front of people that didn't agree, were persecuting them, killing them because of the resurrection of Christ. Many ran for their lives while in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, turning the world upside down, willingly giving their lives for the resurrected Christ. And the resurrection can have the same kind of transforming power in our lives this morning. The power to receive, the power to believe, the power to live without fear. Notice, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he won that great victory. And I wonder sometimes, as children of God, do we possibly forget the victory we've won through Christ? I shared in Bible class a little bit this morning, and I don't mind sharing again, over and over again. I worry sometimes as children of God that we have forgotten the promise of his return. We have forgotten that he raised from the dead. We forgot that he's no longer in the tomb. We have a hope that the world can't share because they don't understand. We have a task. We've got to be about teaching it. But as we gather on Sunday mornings, we don't have to live in fear. Our lives can be transformed because Jesus is alive and well. And he says, I'm coming back. I'm going to take you to be with me. We do not have to fear living the life for Christ. Because no matter what happens here, I've got a home eternal far more precious. I asked at the beginning, maybe God didn't get the resurrection right. Yeah, he did. He got it exactly right. Especially if faith is truly critical. And there it brings us back to the light again. Brings us back to the question for the morning about your faith and my faith. Our belief in this risen Savior. What does that mean for our lives? Are we living as the Lord wants us to live? You see, those who saw Jesus had no choice but to believe. We do. You have a choice this morning whether you will accept Jesus Christ in your life and live for Him, or you can leave the building in just a few moments, say, yeah, right, and go on with your life. But you see, if we really do believe in Jesus, it'll change our lives and the way we live for Him, the way we touch other people's lives on a daily basis, about teaching others about this risen Savior. We do have a choice, and it's called real faith. And we're back to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Conviction of things not seen. I've never been to that empty tomb, but I know it exists because I believe God's word that He rose Jesus from the grave. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Not just belief, but a belief that leads to obedience in all things. I hear from time to time, even in the church, the question, yeah, but all that's not important. Really? If you believe it is. If you truly believe Jesus, it's all important. Do you believe? We sing the song from time to time. We gaze not in the open tomb, where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? Sing the last part with me.
But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead?
What's your hope based on this morning? Is it based on Jesus Christ? If it's based about you, if it's based on what you think, on what you feel, on what you're willing to do, I want you to know this morning you're lost. If it's based on Jesus Christ and the risen Savior, now we have hope. Hope beyond this world. A hope that leads to an obedient life because of faith. If you're outside of the body of Christ this morning, I mean, if you've never repented of your sins, as Jesus would say in Luke chapter 13, repent or perish. If you've never confessed Him as Lord and Savior, He can't confess you unless you confess Him first. And then be baptized, as He says in Matthew 28, 19, 20, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, to be baptized, having our sins washed away. You've not gone through those steps, easy steps as they are, and then begin to live a life of faithfulness to Him. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Living faithful until death. If you've not done that, you're not in the family of God. We would plead with you this morning. The water is ready. You can be baptized. The sins will be washed away. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We'd encourage you this morning to put Him on in baptism. Show your faith in Jesus. His words, not mine. I only share His words. And if you're a child of His, are you living for Him today? Or have you allowed the world to step in the way? The world, as I said, celebrates once a year. That's good for us. I'm glad we celebrate Sunday to be reminded of the power of Jesus Christ. Of His blood shed at Calvary for my sins and your sins. And it's possible. that you've wandered from the Lord. You've allowed the world to get in the way, and you need to return to Him today. We would pray with you and plead with you to come to the Lord, come back to the Lord. Let Him have complete control. If we can help in any way this morning, for you to have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, to show your favor, let us know as together we stand and sing.